Welcome to another eating, Sunday eating with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing out there in Pal Talk Land? Everybody doing good? Good, good, good. All right. Looks like everybody's doing good. Okay, well, let's see here. I'd like to say the most important announcement of this year is that it's my birthday. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Okay, so I got a lot of cards today, and people gave me a little bit of gifts. And I want to thank everybody for the beautiful cards. We're going to have some people share tonight. Everybody had a little something they wanted to say about the election. Sort of the final eulogy for America. So I'm going to start out with blind letting everybody wanted to share. Get what's off their heart, get it off. Because I'm going to play a little tape tonight from Zion, from Robert Thompson. And I think it's a good encouraging word we all need to hear, you know, since the election. Okay, wait a minute. We got Andrew here. Go ahead, Andrew. You got the mic.
Well, good evening, everyone. I just wanted to get on tonight and share my thoughts on the results of the election this past week. America was born on July 4th, 1776, with the Declaration of Independence. And America died on November 6, 2012, with the re-election of Barack Hussein Obama. All we need to remember is what he told Dmitry Medvedev from Russia during the hot microphone moment when he said that after his election, he would have more flexibility to work with Putin. Obama is in the position that former President Bill Clinton could only dream of, which is to be the president of the world. I think that Obama is the last president of the United States of America because he is going to become a dictator and a brutal one. Perhaps you all remember the audio that Dan had posted of an interview of Reverend T.D. Hale and the dream he had about America, how Obama would be reelected the president and the utter destruction that would come in his second term. He shot the eagle, which represents freedom, and ripped up the Constitution. And while all that has already started, it will certainly finish in this last term of Obama. The thing that bothered me most about election night is that when it was announced that Obama won, Romney conceded without a fight. He could have at least stood up to Obama and demanded a recount, especially in the Ohio counties that had 140% voter turnout. Yes, 140%. It is also grieving to see the reaction of many conservative/Republican bloggers and radio talk show hosts like Glenn Beck. I fully expected to see Glenn Beck get on a show and cry, or at the very least, sound like he has lost hope for America. Instead, he doesn't believe that America is a total loss. One conservative site I occasionally follow, therightscoop.com, they are already talking about using the next 4 years to prepare a truly conservative candidate to take back the White House and Congress. I hate to break it to them, but not only is that not going to happen, no one seems to ask themselves, will this country even be here in 4 years? In conclusion, as Christians, we cannot be in denial or be ignorant about what has happened to America and what is going to happen as the end draws near. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, verse 13, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." That was all. Back to you, Dan.
Good show, Andrew. That's exactly right. I agree. Okay. Sister Jennifer wants to share something. She's up.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is just a little something. It's sad to say, but not until about 6 months ago did I really start to see the blessing of God for the United States of America, his plan and purpose. I knew he sent over the Pilgrims and the Puritans, but didn't know the depth of all that meant. These people loved the Lord and each other. The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall and David Manuel is an amazing book. I'm only halfway through the book, but it seems our walk should be like their walk in regards to loving Jesus. And if something goes wrong or is not right, humble yourself and seek him to find out the reason. Also, denying self. I have not walked in much self-denial, but hope to with a glad heart. having a new value and respect for this nation. I did not want Obama to win this election. When I found out he had won, I was discouraged. I really thought and hoped Romney had a chance to be our next president. I wanted Obama out of the office and held accountable for so many things, like the Benghazi cover-up, and most importantly, not supporting Israel as the president of the United States should. And then there's the dismantling of the Constitution. Well, I asked the Lord to help me get refocused because I was disappointed and discouraged. Wednesday morning, I was still shaking my head over the election, and I thought of checking online some news, but didn't want to see Obama's victory spread all over the screen. But I felt I should, so I got online, and praise God, on Dan's website, which is my homepage, came up, and he had a couple of scriptures in Daniel there with the picture of the little horn. I was so blessed. It was just an encouragement for me, and my mind could refocus on the Lord and what He's doing at this time. It's a sad and grievous thing what has happened to this great nation. But as we know, this nation is under judgment, and Obama is part of it. That was all. God bless you.
Amen. Good word. Okay, whoever's up next. Got Cameron up next.
Hello, everybody. Good word so far. It's been pretty busy here working on the barn, so I didn't get a chance to write much down. However, I do want to say a few things about the election. I truly think that God gave Americans one last time to see whose side they were on. And Lord have mercy, they made their choice. Here are just a couple of things people have said that I've talked to. The other day at work, I asked a lady how the election went for her, to which she said, "Oh, I voted for the lesser of the two evils." And as she was saying that, I thought, "Oh, good, she voted for Romney." But then she finished saying by, "Oh, I voted for Obama." So, as I was telling someone else about what she said, another employee walked by and saw her frustration, to which she so proudly stated, "That's why I don't vote. So if my candidate loses, I don't get upset." So this was just a reminder to me that Americans are going to get what they deserve. But even worse, there were those who didn't vote for religious purposes. And come to find out, a lot of evangelicals did not vote this time. And aside from voter fraud, they were the likely cause that Romney lost the election. So it's very possible that Christians themselves have called down God's judgment upon them. How sad. I hope we are prepared for what's coming down the pike. As things get darker and colder in the world, so do things in the spiritual realm, which is why we need to press in all the more and endure to the end. And praise the Lord, we have hope, knowing that as every day goes by, we are one day closer to the kingdom. Thank you all.
Amen. Good word. Hang on a second here. We got Brother James.
All right, thanks. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to share a little article that I received this week. It was written by a non-believing Jew, a Jew that does not believe in Jesus. However, I believe this person did a very good job on it, and really, it really spoke to my heart. The article says, quote, "I think of Lot from the Torah in these past couple of days. Lot was perplexed with the evil around him, the men that shoved their Sodomite ways all over Sodom and Gomorrah, men who even wanted to force themselves upon angels of the Lord who came to Lot's rescue, the women who tasted of each other and desired the unnatural, the self-indulgence and sin of that evil dual city. A city who also probably aborted and murdered their babies by putting them through fire. This is also what modern-day America is, a sick, depraved society of abominable and detestable evils that are so filthy that the only release we shall ever experience is God's wrath on us. Yes, I mean us. So why pray for America to survive and be blessed? Why would someone that truly fears the Lord with a healthy fear want such an evil place to exist? A true believer in God would be perplexed and hurt, sad and sick in their soul that they inhabit such a wicked place. A true believer would pray for an end to their own land because they know it hurts God. He blessed this country which spit in his face for over 50 years. There is a prayer for America. On behalf of a loving, kind, and just God, pray for its end. Even if you die or get hurt in the process, believers in God know that they may die, but God will meet them again in eternity hereafter. Every real Jew knows this, and every real Christian knows it. I have gotten rebuked by people that think this is mean. I say you are totally wrong. It is mean and hateful and to want evil to survive. It is inhumane. You are inhumane. All of you that have rebuked me for feeling the way I believe. The way I believe is based on the dictates of my heart that is inspired by the infallible Word of God. There have been many of you who take joy in rebuking me. Many hate my personal friend and confidant because he also wants an end to this present evil. He and I are humane. You are not. We are all but dust, my friends, and dust we shall return. Why be afraid if you believe in the one who controls the physical and the spiritual, the one who determines the eternal of your soul? Don't be afraid. Righteous people of God are not afraid of death. And this person closes and says, God, give those of us who love you the courage to not be afraid of death. And I was pondering this article this afternoon, and a few scripture verses came to mind. The first one was James 5:5, and from the Amplified Bible, it says, here on earth you have abandoned yourselves to soft, prodigal living, to the pleasures of self-indulgence and self-gratification. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. It is my own personal belief that this is the condition of this nation, and this last election shows the results of a people that are totally unwilling to repent before God of their self-indulgence and self-gratification. Again, it's my belief that we are living in the days that Paul warned Timothy about in 2 Timothy 3, when he said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And the list goes on in that in those verses. A scripture verse that really sums this up, or shall I say that will sum it up, is Revelation 16:5-11, and this is King James Version. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Thank you, everyone, and back to you, Dan.
All right. Amen. Thanks for sharing, James. That's good. Joey's up next, I believe. Here we go, Joey.
Well, thank you, everybody, for your good words, and good evening, everybody. I just wanted to share a thought I had this week right after the election. As you know, some of us were mentioning about going out to vote, hoping that Romney would win the election, which would kick out a great deal of darkness and blackness in the White House. Not that we're looking for a way to turn this nation back to how it was by having Romney in the office. Personally, going out to vote this year is not even about politics, but it's about righteousness. It's about spiritual and moral conviction. It's about hating what God hates and loving what God loves. It's about trying to maintain the fear of God, even in the midst of seeing America on its way to destruction. So personally, the least thing I could do was to vote for the lesser evil, so to speak, and hoping that Obama, whom God hates very much, would be put to an open shame. Without being taken by surprise, the election result, the rigged version anyways, indeed was a confirmation that evil will prosper in these last days till it's time for God's wrath to destroy the devil's program. Legally, I personally believe that Romney would have won the election, but in the other hand, most secular Americans are so blind and self-deceived in their hatred for God that they can choose evil without blinking an eye and dearly embrace Obama as their king and leader. Obama won the race to the Oval Office, but America as a whole nation has become a worthless loser. It is very sickening and grieving to know that this once was a great nation under God is now under an Islamic socialist alien whose name does not even sound like an American, much less a usurper from a foreign country, which makes his presidency an illegal position from day one. Behold, your non-American American tyrant dictator. I was asking the Lord for help in the midst of all this. I know it takes a lot of patience and it requires a lot of dying to certain thoughts and denying desires of vengeance and other things. I know that God is on the throne and that he is preparing an army. God has a plan, and while his people watches and prays and faithfully serve his cause, they know they will be on the victory side in the end. In the meantime, we must separate ourselves from all works of darkness and expose and recognize the day of evil we are living in so we can protect ourselves from the wiles of the Antichrist. As I said this week, I had some thoughts, especially after the election, and one of the things I was kind of complaining about was the fact that during the third presidential debate, Romney did not go for the jugular against Obama when the Benghazi-Libya issue was brought into question. Even in his eloquence and intelligence about the truth concerning Obama's lies about the event, Romney approached Obama like a plush teddy bear while Obama was out to cut him by the throat. Well, just like the vast majority of Christians today, they will be defeated and overcome by the enemy who's out to devour them with all violence to take them to hell, and yet they are not willing to fight him in the name of the Lord. And those who are trying to fight Satan, they are underestimating his power and ability. So they fight with very little effort and almost no authority at all. They continue in their love for the things of this world and allow Satan to deceive and later destroy them. They will not go for the jugular by dying to self, afflicting the Adamic man, and laying down their idols in order to be close to Jesus. In order to do the business of the Father, in order to be cleansed and be in the battle in these last days, which is a matter of life and death. People will deserve their defeat because they did not go all out to get ruthless against Satan and the Adamic man, especially when God's power and wisdom is available to them. Jesus said, "What profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Is the glory of God worth losing because gaining this world seems more worthy to keeping? Well, most people say no, but by their works they say yes. I was encouraging myself in the Lord this morning. I took a walk up the hill behind the house, and I was just thanking the Lord for everything. And I was reading in 11th chapter of Revelation about the two witnesses. I was also reading about the 144,000 in chapter 14. I personally feel an urgency in the spirit to keep climbing upward to where God wants his remnant to walk in the fullness of God. Every time Dan shows us something about what's going on in the world, especially concerning Obama and this nation, it kind of brings your blood to a boiling point and helps me be reminded that God will have a people that will walk in God's authority and fullness of power for the glory of his name. Every time the brethren discusses how evil this world is, it reminds me and encourages me to prepare for the coming of the kingdom of God. And I know that part of that preparation will always entail going all out for the jugular in fighting and waging war against Satan. As evil is rapidly progressing and escalating, Holiness and closeness with God will come with a great price. Death to compromise, death to any false security and hope in this world, death to pleasing men, death to all worthless things, and death to the Adamic man, that which may lead to actual physical death, which God's remnant necessarily has to be prepared to face right now. A couple of scriptures to close here. In Revelation 12:11, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." 1 John 2:15-17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, verse 31-34, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So that's all I got. Good night. Back to Dan.
Okay, Mom's up next. Good word, Joey.
Hi, everyone. Boy, we're on a roll tonight. We're really ready to stand up for Jesus, no matter what comes. You know, I've been meditating this week on the power of choice, of free choice. It's a wonderful gift God has given us, the power of choice. You know, God said in Deuteronomy 30:19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." So he taught we to choose life. We can choose life or we can choose death. Joshua told the people to choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. There were many choices made last week. Many, many choices. No, Christians have the power to choose also. Galatians 6:7-8 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life eternal." So we can choose to sow to the flesh or choose to sow to the Spirit. This scripture was written to Christians at Galatia, not on saved people. This was written to Christians. Christians have the power to choose. You know, this week I was reading some articles that Daniel got off of the website, and I just wanted to read a few of them, of other people's comments of what they thought about the election. And this article was written by the ignorant fisherman. "Now we come today, the day after the election, and we once more again see that the evangelical vote has stayed home, and in doing so have given Obama another 4 years to finish the job of transforming our nation and fundamentally changing our culture and way of life, which includes the elimination of sound biblical Christianity. I know I am going to get a ton of hate mail for this statement, but shame on you for sitting home and not choosing to be light and exercising your God-given right to vote. I know all sides of this argument, and there is still absolutely no excuse. Your self-righteous pride, biblical ignorance, and foolishness has opened wide the door now for Christian persecution in our nation and the end of the freedoms we have for the furtherance of the gospel. My friends, indeed the day of the Lord is at hand, but woe to any who seek to bring it about, who call on the name of Jesus Christ by being idle and slothful. This is not a sanctification matter, and God will hold you accountable for hiding your light and voice. In the end, this 2012 election has revealed without a shadow of a doubt that the evangelical element has lost its salt and light, and that America has absolutely no problem in full light re-electing a radical, progressive, secular Marxist to reign over us. I think of Samuel, when all of Israel wanted a king and not the Lord. It broke his heart, and rightly so. He knew what was coming. Thus, America, in this election, has said quite loudly that we do not want the God-given freedom to exercise what our founding fathers envisioned, which was based on the laws of nature and the nature and the God of nature. In so doing, we have rejected the Judeo-Christian value and idols which once made this country great. Ideals which once made this country great. We have now, as a nation, fully taken on the mantle of lawlessness and the spirit of Antichrist as our nation's ideology and culture. Indeed, we as evangelicals will now see what we must surely endure under a lawless administration of Barack Obama, and many evangelicals will be sifted and found wanting. So I think these articles really, really impressed me. This is another one I wanted to read about. It's a controversial quote from an article in the Czech Republic newspaper. And it has recently been translated into English and is made available here for the first time. This quote says it all. The danger to America is not Barack Obama, but a citizenry capable of entrusting a man like him with a presidency. It will be far easier to limit and undo the follies of an Obama presidency than to restore the necessary common sense and good judgment to a depraved electorate willing to have such a man for their president. The problem is much deeper and far more serious than Mr. Obama, who is a mere symptom of what ails America. Blaming the Prince of Fools should not blind anyone to the vast confederacy of fools that made him their prince. The Republic can survive a Barack Obama, who is, after all, merely a fool. It is less likely to survive a multitude of fools, such as those who made him their president. That's my conviction. That is my conviction. I'm telling you that. Now, we are laborers together with God. God does his part. We do our part. I believe God is master of all circumstances. I believe God set before the American people two men to vote for. One proved what he stood for these past 4 years. The other had yet to prove what he stood for. It was up to the voters of America to check out the morals of both candidates and make a choice, make a free choice, which God allowed. We already knew that Barack Obama endorsed gay marriage. We already knew that he was for abortion, the murdering of babies. We already knew that he befriended the enemies of America, that he bowed down to the king of Saudi Arabia, that he has aligned himself with the Muslim Brotherhood, that he has even allowed them to infiltrate in positions in our government. We already know that he has made June Gay Pride Month, and many homosexuals are heads of his department. And yet the people chose him. No longer can we sing, God bless America, God shed his grace on thee. God does not shed his grace on sin. He is a holy, magnificent, awesome God, and is separate from sinners, and will not bless sin, but rather will judge it. I believe he will judge this nation for their choice this week. I believe we as a nation are headed for God's judgment. You know, I have something a little personal that happened with us concerning the flag. We became grieved at the outcome of the election and decided among ourselves to fly the flag for a few days at half-mast. Someone who works with some of the guys here handed one of them a paper concerning the proper use of the flag, telling him that we may offend some people without what we thought was an inappropriate use of the flag, which what he thought was. But I've written a letter to him for one of the boys to give to him, I would like to share it with you because it's our sentiments. I'll read the letter. Dear sir, I won't say his name, but dear sir, since I am part owner of the residence at 7013 Licking Creek Road, I felt to reply to the notice you gave to Joey on Friday. The flag was to be flying at half-mast. However, they could not get the flag down to half-mast on the pole, so the whole pole was lowered. We feel we are free to fly the flag at half-mast in lieu of a death. We strongly feel the re-election of Barack Obama will bring this country to the death of what it started out to be by our founding fathers. If you think we offended some, we would like to affirm that we also are offended by those who voted for what Barack Obama has proven himself to be these last 4 years. He has stood for the rights of homosexuals, even to endorse gay marriage. He made a statement about the elderly taking pain pills rather than having an expensive operation. He is strongly for abortion, murdering unborn babies. He is a Muslim at heart and has proved himself to be a Muslim at heart by aligning himself with the Muslim Brotherhood and other pro-Islamic organizations and pro-Islamic countries. He is a known liar, and it is our opinion that he is responsible for the recent deaths of 4 Americans in Benghazi. Only those who really are not concerned about this nation remaining what it once was, who are only concerned about their own empires, who have buried their heads in the sand as to the reality of what is happening to this once wonderful country, only these cannot feel the grief that many people feel concerning what will happen to this country during the next 4 years. Putting the flag at half-mast was a public statement of ours to the grief we feel for this country. We love God first. The Word of God clearly states that homosexuality is an abomination to God as well as murder. And so it is an abomination to us. Because of this, we cannot feel the same about this country as we once did, as it is not the country that it once was. We do not want to be identified with things that are an abomination to the God we serve. Therefore, we have replaced the American flag with the Christian flag. We feel this is our prerogative as law-abiding citizens. Respectfully yours, Mrs. Barry Finney. So that's our sentiments exactly. And I just thank God that he knows each of our hearts and each of our choice. And that's all I have to say. Shalom.
I wanted to thank Ma for her sharing that. It was excellent. And thank you, everyone else, for everything that they shared. It was very good. Wanted to share as well that, of course, voted for Romney and that, and felt really blessed doing that to take a stand against Obama and all his policies and that. And it felt really good to do that. And the next morning, or we stayed up, and we were watching the results of the election to see who would win in that, because we did have hopes for Romney. And we were watching, and we found out that Obama won around 11:30, so we all went to bed a little depressed. And the next morning, I had to go to work, but as I got, I was at work waiting in my car and that, and, you know, you realize that Obama got in, it was like, you know, what point is there in facing the world now? There's absolutely nothing here. It's turned to a dictatorship, and there's nothing here for us anymore to do or any reason to be here. It was really depressing in that, and Jennifer came into work then and shared that verse that Dan had posted on his website, and that was like, well, yes, the Bible does say that the little horn will practice and prosper and overcome. So it was comforting to at least know that it was prophesied that that would happen. Also this week, I've been reading some news about the results and that, and found out that Israel as well was watching very closely, and I was disappointed that Netanyahu has come out and tried to make friends now with Obama after all that he has done to Israel. I was reading, though, and I think a possibility might be I saw that Israel believes that Iran has reached a point where Israel cannot no longer destroy their nuclear facilities without the United States technology and help. And I think that is a very bad situation for them, because we have just reelected our president that absolutely hates Israel. So I totally agree with Ma that not only will America be judged for electing this communist person, but also that he is going to destroy Israel. He will not give them what they need and will not stop Iran from obtaining that nuclear weapon. And that will be touching the apple of God's eye, Israel. That was all I had. Back to Dan.
Amen. That was good, Seth. Anybody else have any share? Irma? Sister Irma? I saw your hand up for a minute. You want to talk?
Oh. So there was so much said that I had written down, but I'm not going to repeat it. I just want to get in on it and said that I, too, went for Romney, and I was very disappointed, but still knowing that God, if he was not going to pour judgment, would allow him to come in. But his judgment is on a faster track now to decay and destruction. But the good part is, I'm looking at, is Jesus is soon to come. Andrew mentioned about Putin and Obama, and I saw a video news clip showing Obama and Putin in Russia having a meeting shortly before the election, and they captured the last statement where Obama, quote, whispered to Putin, as soon as I'm elected for 4 more years, I will have more flexibility. So he was much as saying, I'm in now, I'm going to take control, and this country's going to be Islam. It's easy to be frustrated and angry with so much hatred against God. There's global rejection against biblical truths, and we have so few warning what is going to take place and is also now secretly happening. And I thought to myself, where are the watchmen on the wall? I'm glad you're one of them, Dan. And my prayer after this election is, God help us all here in this group to be faithful to the end, even unto death, if that is his will. That's it, Dan. Thank you. And happy birthday.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Irma. What he was referring to when he said, give me more time, was missile reduction. He can't reduce the total number of nuclear missiles in the United States without a big to-do. He couldn't do his first term. The Republicans would all rebelled. But he can do it this time. He can just ride shotgun and roll over everybody like a steamroller. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to reduce our missiles and reduce our military to the point where we're not going to be able to withstand any kind of attack. And we could be overtaken by any country. That's what he's going to do, and the way he's going to stop him. Okay, well, this week somebody made us aware of an article by this woman named Tricia Erickson. She's a former Mormon. She's a daughter of a Mormon bishop. And she's been out there trying to warn people not to vote for Romney because of the Mormon beliefs that he holds. And one of those beliefs is that, like the Muslims and like today's Reconstructionists and Dominionist Christians, the Mormons believe that they're going to eventually become the head of the nations and establish a Mormon kingdom, just like the Christians do, just like the Muslims do. And so she was warning people not to vote for Romney because there's a definite plan within Mormonism to take over America and take over the world, establish a Mormon kingdom on the earth. And her whole thing was, don't vote for the Mormon because you can't trust him. He's going to vote according to the Mormon church's doctrines, not according to what's best for the country. And then she quoted a couple people who said, as Christians, we're not bound to vote for the lesser of two evils. As Christians, we shouldn't vote for any evil. I do not believe her alarmist view, because if you check the voting record of the 16 or 17 Mormons that are in Congress and the Senate now, you will see a divergence of opinions and votes on many social and political issues. They do not automatically vote church positions first. That was a false insinuation. It was a false alarm she was sounding. John F. Kennedy was a Roman Catholic. I'm sure a similar case could have been made against voting for him by evangelicals, since Roman Catholicism is also filled with blasphemous teachings and secret rituals. Of course, he wasn't a very good Catholic, and in some ways he operated more like a gangster. But in many areas, Kennedy was a patriot. In fact, he was the last real president in the patriotic sense, because he had determined to dismantle much of the hold the internationalists had gained on the nation, particularly through the monetary system. That's why he was killed. Richard Nixon was a Quaker, and the case could easily be made that Quakers are not genuine believers. Yet he helped Israel at a time when nobody else would. In fact, the case could easily be made that Richard Nixon alone, through God's providence, of course, saved the state of Israel from destruction on his watch. And that's one of the reasons he was deposed. Bill Clinton was a Baptist. Of course, he was not a practicing Baptist, and he was not a genuine believer. He did more to hurt and weaken America than all the presidents before him combined. Moreover, he disgraced the office, including the literal office, of the president more than anyone before him. He was truly the first scumbag president. Of the three religions represented by these three men, only one is genuinely Christian. That's the Baptist. Of those three men who represented those religions, Mr. Clinton, he was the most wicked. So the Baptist was the most wicked of those three men. I'll take a patriotic Roman Catholic over an internationalist Baptist any day of the week. Likewise, I'll take a semi-patriotic Mormon over a communist, Islamist, America-hating half-breed any day of the week. What people don't understand is the race between Romney and Obama in this election, it was different. Nobody knew Obama the last election. The guy came out of nowhere. He talked a great talk about getting America back on track. And all his slogans were designed to be taken two ways. Leftists and communists knew what he really meant when he talked about making America great. He was talking about making America communist. Conservatives and independents just thought they knew what he meant. They thought he meant bringing jobs back to American shores, cutting taxes, going back more to the ideas of the original American colonies. They thought he was saying something and he wasn't. And they found out too late that all his slogans and all his words were meant for communists, and that was their real meaning. So 4 years later, there's no question as to what Obama represents or where he wants to take the country. Anyone who wants to know the truth has seen it for the last 4 years. Quite frankly, I've grown weary of people like Miss Erickson, who say there's no difference between the two of them, because in this article, she called them the Obama twins. Not only in policy matters, but in simple decency and morality, there's such a big difference between Romney and Obama, you have to be a willingly stupid on purpose, willingly blind not to see it. Obama hates America. He hates this nation. Romney does not hate it. Obama wants to see America weak. He wants to see America humbled before the whole world. That wasn't Romney's position. Obama hates capitalism. Obama hates free markets. Romney does not. Obama hates free speech. He's going to be a worse tyrant than Hitler was. This guy is a Hitler in the making, and everybody's going to soon witness it. He hates free speech. He hates individual liberty. He hates property rights. He hates gun rights. And that's not Romney's stand. Obama hates Israel. He can't wait to see Israel destroyed, and he's working towards Israel's destruction every day. That's not Romney's position. Obama hates whites. He hates whitey. He likes to kill the crackers, and he's going to start killing the crackers very soon. And the crackers that he kills deserve to be killed if they voted for him or if they stayed home. That's not what Romney feels. Obama hates morality and all moral restraints. Romney's a good moral person. I don't care what you say about the crazy fruitcake doctrines of Mormonism. They all believe in morality and doing good deeds and being good people. There's no comparison in morality between Obama and Mitt Romney. It's crazy. If you think there is, you're nuts. You belong in a sane asylum. In this election, the people of the United States had a clear choice between a man who hates America and is deliberately trying to destroy it as fast as he possibly can, and a man who still loves his country to at least some degree, and who would have tried to restore some of its greatness, though he would have certainly fallen. He couldn't have done it. So saying there's no difference between the two men is nothing but oversimplified ignorance. You're ignorant if you said that. You're ignorant. You don't know what you're talking about. There's many acts of rebellion that the American people have done, that the politicians have done, that their lawmakers have brought in the nation to bring it to where it is now. And I believe some of those acts have sealed the fate of our nation years ago. That's one of the reasons I say there's no chance for America. I don't believe America can be saved, regardless of who becomes president. But this election was different. It wasn't the same as George Bush or Clinton or anybody else. This election was different because this is a national referendum. This wasn't an individual lawmaker in California creating a stupid law. It wasn't Circuit Court 9 in California doing crazy things. It wasn't an individual lawmaker or a group over here or even one state doing something. This is a national referendum between godlessness and morality, between communism and capitalism. And the people of the nation, like that guy said, in full light, voted for communism, voted for kick God out of all their institutions and everything. It's anti-God, pro-communism vote. The country voted for it. Not just a few people. Not just a few nutcases. Not a court here or a state there. The entire nation this year had a clear choice, and they clearly chose Satan. It was the clearest choice America ever had. No president ever in history has shown and demonstrated and openly declared his goal was the establishment of communism in this country. Obama did. He didn't call it communism, he called it redistribution of wealth. That's what communism is. So when the people vote for Obama, they willingly chose the destruction of the nation. And it's going to start happening very soon. It's already happened. Just since Obama won, there's been tens of thousands of layoffs in huge corporations, medium-sized businesses, small businesses. 6 months from now, the country's going to be broke if it doesn't already go to the cliff at the end of the year.